الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. During the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not have anything to eat in his home. Starvation, poverty, and for a few days this condition was continuing. Until Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, finding it difficult to bear the pangs of poverty, starvation, hunger, he leaves his home to come to the masjid. And the heat of Arabia, we all know, extreme heat. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu thought that, let me go to the house of Allah, let me spend some time in the masjid. So he came to the masjid. It wasn't the usual time, usual hour that people would come to the masjid at midday. After a little while, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala had come to the masjid. Seeing Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala seated at that time, he asked, what had brought you out here? He said, I didn't have anything. Few days have passed in this way. So I thought I'll come out to the house of Allah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was also undergoing poverty, hunger, starvation. Few days also had passed in this state and condition. He says that what had brought you to the masjid, this is the very same reason that I have also come to the masjid. They both sat there remembering Allah. It wasn't long thereafter that Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made out that this was the same reason that why they had come to the masjid. Rasulullah also was undergoing hunger and poverty, starvation. That the same state and condition that had prevailed over Rasulullah had prevailed over these two sahaba. Nabi Ali Islam mentioned that, what have brought you out to the masjid? This is the very same reason that I have come here also. But then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhuma, come with me, let's go. So they go to the home of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala was very close to Rasulullah sallam. Some narration mentioned that he would take out some food every day for the Rasul of Allah. If the Nabi of Allah took that food, then he had taken it, and if the Nabi of Allah didn't come, then he would send that food also. So the relationship was extremely close, and the home of Abu Ayyub Ansari was like the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the time of Hijrat, when they Rasulullah came with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala to Medina Munawwara, Allah Pak made it that camel was commanded to stop at the home of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu. And some narrations mention that prior to the advent of Islam, about 400 years prior to that, there was a king by the name of Tubba with a group of ulama of the Yahud. And they were passing by Yathrib. In those days it was called Yathrib, later on Medina Munawwara. And they settled there, And then the ulama of the Yahud told the king that the Nabi Akhiri Zaman, the final Nabi who will come, he will settle in this land. So we want to stay here. So the king, he built homes for all the ulama, and one home he built, and he earmarked that home, he specified that home to be the home of Rasulullah. Prior to passing away, he wrote a letter stating that if I do not meet that zamana, that time where the Rasul of Allah, the final prophet comes, then this message should be passed on to him, this letter, that I believe in you, O Muhammad sallallahu, and this is the home that I have built. So this was that home of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu. So nevertheless, Rasulullah's relationship with the Sahabi was such that he could go to his home at any time. He says, if two friends enjoy that relationship, that both eat from each other's well, then it will be permissible, and it would not be israf, it will not be desiring the wealth of others which is impermissible. Like how the husband and wife has a special relationship, both can enjoy from each other's wealth. So if a situation is of this type, then for a person, if he's in difficulty and need, and he goes to his friend, a friend who has that type of relationship, both are so close, then this would not be regarded israf, that you staring at the wealth of others, desiring the wealth of others, which is impermissible in Islam. So the Nabi of Allah told Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar Farooq, let's go to the home of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. When they came, they knock on the door, the wife opened the door, asked, where is your husband? He says, he's not here, he's gone out, but please sit down. He was honored to have the Rasul of Allah and these two great companions of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as her guests. It wasn't long thereafter as Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala had come, and he mentioned that, oh Nabi of Allah, it's not the usual time that you come to my home. And he made out that starvation, poverty, hunger had brought them out. He was honored. He says, I am so fortunate to have the Rasul of Allah as my guest, as Abu Bakr Siddiq, as Umar. Please sit down. He goes and he slaughters a goat. He prepares the meat. And then he brings a bunch of grapes. Cuts the whole branch. All different types of grapes. The ripe, unripe, half ripe. And then he presents it before Rasulullah while the meat is getting done. The minister said, oh boy, I'm sorry, you could have just taken the ripe dates. Why you cut the whole branch? He said, I desire that you could choose whichever type of dates are pleasing to you, what you desire, O Nabi of Allah. In other words, what pleases you will please me. It's my honor to host you, to receive you at my home as a guest. And thereafter he did, he brings that meat, the bride meat. And then he brings cool water. And as the Rasulullah ﷺ partakes of the meal, as Abu Bakr Siddiq, as Umar radiallahu ta'ala also ate to their full, relished the meat. And when they were complete, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذٍ أَنِ النَّعِيمِ. On the day of Qiyamah, you'll be questioned by Allah regarding these favors that you have enjoyed now. As Umar was surprised, O Nabi of Allah, so many days, hunger, starvation, poverty, and after such difficulty, now we got this. This also will be, have to give a, we'll be questioned. We have to give accountability by Allah for this. Nabi says, yes, for everything. So these favors we take for granted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting us so much of wealth. Even the poor also, what the kings of the past didn't enjoy, the poor of today are enjoying it. Even what the kings of the past, they didn't enjoy that. The poor of today are enjoying it. Al-ana khaffafa Allahu ankum. وَعَلِمَ أَنَّ فِيكُمْ ضَعْفًا. Allah Ta'ala had seen the weakness of this ummah, the condition. Allah made everything easy for us. In the times of the past, if a king had to travel, it was a lengthy procedure, a lengthy journey. It would take months on end before he could reach a certain destination. So much of food, so much of hardship, so much of difficulty. On horseback, they're traveling. They would have to encamp at different spots, in different places during the journey. And after months, then they would reach that place. They say from Durban to Johannesburg to Cape Town, how long it would take, you know. And now a person takes a plane, you know. And it's 1 hour, 1.5 hours, and he's there, you know. So this is the grace and the favor of Allah that insan doesn't recognize. It doesn't relate, you know. Insan has a tendency that he's always looking in dunya to people who are above. And in deen, he always looks at people below. He says, no, alhamdulillah, you know, alhamdulillah, we got namaz in our life. You know, we go out in the path of Allah, we're going for umrah, we're doing this. Yeah, how's the business? He's not doing so well, you know. If you say you're going for umrah, you say you're going this, the business is not doing well. So look at all the other people around. People say squatter camps, people hand to mouth, difficulty. And Allah is blessing us every day. Allah is under. When will we learn the lesson of shukr? The lesson of gratitude and thanks to Allah. When a servant becomes thankful to Allah with what he has, Allah blesses him with two ni'mats. The first ni'mat is what he has, he secures. And the second ni'mat is what he has, Allah gives him increase. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ Allah says, that if you are grateful and thankful to me for what you have, I will give you increase. وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ But if you are ungrateful, then my punishment is very severe. Very severe. So ulama say that that a person in his life undergoes two types of state conditions. Either it will be shukr or it will be sabr. Sometimes there will be good conditions, prosperity that will come your way, things that will be according to your nature, what you would like, what you desire. You will be thankful and grateful to Allah at that moment. And then there will be certain situations that will overcome man, overcome a person that will be against the grain, against his mizaj, his desire, his nature, what he would expect, what he would want. At that time he must make sabr. He must make sabr. And these both state and condition of sabr and shukr are like two vehicles that will take a person to Allah. As in Umar radiallahu ta'ala's statement is very famous, he mentioned, he said, I do not mind that whichever vehicle Allah makes me ride, whichever conveyance Allah makes me ride upon, I don't mind. Whether it's the conveyance of poverty, whether it's the conveyance of shukr, gratitude and thankfulness to Allah. Whether Allah blesses me with wealth and I make shukr, this is also good. And when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala brings difficult conditions over me and I have to make sabr, then this is also good. Both conditions are the two conveyances and vehicles through which a person can reach Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the Zat, He is the Being, He is the Lord who is in control. Insan is not in control. We should fulfill what is expected of us. What Allah wants from us, are we doing that? What Allah wants is that whichever condition Allah kept us in, we must fulfill the haqq of that condition. If it is sabr, that we fulfill the haqq of sabr. And if it's shukr, then we fulfill the haqq of shukr. If ease and comfort comes, then it is shukr. Hardship and difficulty comes, then it is sabr. Person should look around in the world, there are many, many wealthy people who are sitting on millions. And just, you know, in few days, they became paupers on the street, you know. Maybe floods came, maybe some earthquake had struck the country. Allah Pak save us. Allah Pak save us from hardship and difficulty. We should keep on making dua that Allah Ta'ala save us from difficulty and do not bring difficult conditions. But at the same time, we should understand that if something is meant and written in taqdeer, then a person now will have to fulfill the haqq of that situation and condition what Allah wants from him. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi mentioned that my ustad, Mia Asghar Hussain Sahib, had fallen ill. So I went to visit him. Ustad was very, very ill. So his temperature was rising, very high temperature. Fever, a lot of fever. And due to the fever, so severe fever, this buzuk was falling unconscious all the time. Falling unconscious, regaining his state of consciousness after. So Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah said, you know, I went to see this ustad of mine who taught me, who brought me up, who was responsible for my dini progress. So to go and pay the respects to that ustad, to make iyadah, to go and visit him at that state is the haqq that he owed to that ustad. So I went to visit this ustad. So he said the ustad was unconscious. And after a little while, then he regained consciousness. When he regained consciousness, he saw Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullahi with a broad smile. You know. Mufti Sahab, kaise ho? How are you? Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullahi says, no, Alhamdulillah, I'm well. I said, how are you feeling? Alhamdulillah, I'm very well. The man is undergoing such high fever, falling unconscious. But when he meets, he says, Alhamdulillah, I'm very well. Don't you see my whole body, everything is in working order, working state. It's just a fever here. It's just a fever. So even in that state and that condition that he was undergoing such illness, such sickness, he didn't forget the other ni'mats and bounties of Allah. He didn't forget it. So when a person is undergoing some difficulty, he should not forget Allah's ihsan, Allah's grace upon him. So you're making sabr also, but you're making shukr too. Making sabr, you mean. Allah becomes very pleased with a servant when that servant is grateful. You see, when a person, he has a store, he has a business, and then he's got people working under him, so the employer, many employees, what he wants to see in those employees, what he wants to see? He wants to see gratitude, you know. And if that employee got that state and that condition, he got that sifat, he got the quality of gratitude in him, he's a very, very humble worker. He's a very grateful employee. How will the employer look at him? He look at him favorably. He said, no, I think I soon have to give him an increase. What is it? This is a very loyal worker. It's a very loyal worker. Whenever I see him, Alhamdulillah, he goes out of his way to show me honor and respect. What I want him to do, he's doing. He's trying to do even more to pick up my business. So he said, now you look at him like, with what eye you look at him? So we are all the servants of Allah. We must be grateful servants. Grateful servants. But there must be a meaning of gratitude. There must be some meaning. Like how this person, he's the employee and he's working for the employer. So what is his duties, his obligations, what is required, what is expected of him? This the job description that will show that sifat of shukr in that worker, in that employee. So we should think that now what is expected of us in terms of shukr? Before I come to that point, let me give one two incidents. In the time of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, there was one beggar that had come. Didn't have anything, begging. Came to the home of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. At that time, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala also didn't have a lot in her home. She didn't have anything. But there was one bunch of grapes. One bunch of grapes. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, from the bunch of grapes, she took out one grape. And she gave it to the beggar, she gave him one. This beggar, he took that grape in his hand, he looked at it, and he looked at Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha's face, he looked again, to say that, what is this? Only one grape. Give me one grape. What I must do with this? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was displeased. Our beloved mother, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, of course she was veiled at the time when this beggar had come, she gave him. But she was displeased at his conduct. One is she didn't have anything in her home. Perhaps she only had that bunch. She took out one and she gave it to him. He received something from Allah. He should be grateful. But this man was not grateful. He's looking at that grape and he's speaking. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala mentioned, he says, that do you know what goodness Allah has put in this one grape? How much of favors and ni'mats of Allah is in this one grape? Ulama explain is that one apple, banana, pear, grape, whatever it is. He says that the skies and the earth, the wind and the sun, the moon, everything had to work tirelessly had to work for the production of that one grape. And then there was so much of effort of man behind that. Then the crop had to grow, then the time of harvest, then the people have to harvest it. Allah made intizam, it's coming from one part of the globe to another side of the globe, one country to another country. Now the thing is coming to Woolworths, wherever it's coming, a person goes and he buys it. Allahu Akbar, such intizam. So Aisha radiallahu anha was displeased. This beggar is ungrateful, you know. So she says that in the time of Rasulullah, says Aisha, in the time of Rasulullah, there was one beggar that had come. And the Nabi of Allah also didn't have anything at home, so Rasulullah ﷺ took, there was some dates. The Nabi of Allah took from that bunch of dates, he took one date. And the Nabi of Allah gave that one day to that beggar. Hazrat Aisha is recounting. He says, in time of Rasulullah, the same thing happened. One beggar came and he asked for something. The Nabi of Allah only had that bunch of dates. He took one date and he gave it. And that beggar, he didn't want to accept it. He wasn't happy. It's only one date. What am I going to do with this? He never take it. He went away. He said, no, I don't want it. So the next beggar came and he asked, oh Nabi of Allah, I don't have anything. Don't have anything. Rasul of Allah took that one date and he gave it to him. One date and he gave it to him. He took it, he says, I am so fortunate, this is the date of the Rasul of Allah, he gave me this. I got this, it's a great favor of Allah, that through his Nabi he gave me this date. The Nabi of Allah was so happy. Look at the shukr in this person. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says to the slave girl, that go to Hazrat Salma radiallahu anha, in her home there's 40 dirhams, silver coins. Tell her that the Nabi of Allah is asking for it. They sent it. The Nabi of Allah gave him 40 dirhams. He gave him 40 dirhams. He made shukr for that one date. Allah gave him 40 dirhams. Allah gave him. So when he came to our Kabir and Buzugan, the deen, when we look at their lives, you'll find this aspect of shukr very glaring, a glaring feature in them. Always. Hazrat Mu'ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullahi was very ill at one time, at the end of his life. Maybe Hazrat was very ill. Sometimes would fall unconscious. So they had to administer the medication. So taking the medication, then someone put on a teaspoon or tablespoon, they put some milk, and Hazrat had to take it. It was at that time Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi had fallen unconscious. When he regained consciousness, he asked that, I remember that there was a teaspoon or tablespoon of that milk that they were giving me, and I had fallen unconscious. What happened to that milk? He says that you had fallen unconscious. We sent it down the drain. We put it down the drain. We didn't know who to do. We just... I say, on the day of Qiyamah, you have to answer for this. You could have given this to the parrot. The bird was there. You could sow something. You could give it to an animal. You could give it to something. But you just threw it. You're going to answer for this on the day of Qiyamah. As the Shaykh al-Hadith, Walana Muhammad Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi, he's mentioned that he had different khadims at different times. So once they had a new khadim, maybe that khadim didn't know how to cut the fruit. So there was some watermelon. As the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi should have a lot of mihman, a lot of guests. So the watermelon was there. So as the said, cut the watermelon, present it for the guest. So he didn't know how to cut it. So he cut it and there was a lot of flesh that was still left on the peel. He didn't cut it right. And then he took that all those peels with the watermelons, lot of watermelons still on it, and he put it at the dump, where all the dirt was, with the bin. Sheikh Rahmatullahi was in the wheelchair. When Hazrat Sheikh passed there, he saw that watermelon. Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullahi was so upset, he was so displeased. He said, Astaghfirullah, this man doesn't know how to even cut the fruit. Now he wasted all this. He told that, bring all that, it was by the dirt, by the waste. He said, no, bring it. Wash it. Wash this. I will eat it. Allah's favors, Allah's ni'mat this is. On the day of Qiyamah, we have to answer for this. Shaykh told those who are around him, those who wish to eat and join me in this, alhamdulillah, they can join. If anybody feels hard to eat, they don't want to eat it, no problem. But I'm eating this. So it shows. Today's time we find many people, they waste when they're eating. They don't know. They're just wasting the food. The person eat half plate and then they throw it in the bin. Restaurants, we find also they're doing the same thing. Whereas Hazrat Rasulullah's Mubarak Sunnah is when a person eats, he must show Allah, he's a grateful servant. And the haqq of gratitude, how you'll show Allah, is that you're eating with your fingers. Eating your fingers. So a fork and knife, the kuffar style. A person who's a humble servant, the humility is in the Mubarak Sunnah of Hazrat Rasulullah. The Nabi of Allah ate with his fingers. He ate with his fingers. And then, in the Misa, so when you complete the meal, then you must even clean the plate. You must suck your fingers to show Allah, oh Allah, I need every morsel, every morsel of food. And then the dua person reads, Hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarak fi, ghayra makfiin, wala muwadda'in, wala mustaghna. Then, oh Allah, I'll praise you for the meal. And oh Allah, I'm leaving this food because I'm satiated now, but it's not that I don't need it again. Oh Allah, after a little while I'll be hungry, I'll need it again too. So you're saying the dua expression of humility, neediness, showing shukr. He mentioned Allama Sadi Rahmatullah gives an incident. He says this person, he didn't have shoes. So he's complaining. You know, I don't have shoes, you know. make dua, oh Allah, I don't even have shoes, you know. I'm among your pious servants, I'm like this, I'm like that, I'm worshipping you, you know, but I don't have shoes, you know. He came out of the masjid, he saw a person, haven't got feet, the person haven't got feet, he's there on the wheelchair, no feet. He said, oh Allah, I made a mistake, oh Allah, I made a mistake, you know, forgive me, oh Allah, forgive me. So we should beg Allah for His grace, but remain constantly in shukr, constantly in shukr, thank Allah. He mentioned one buzrug. So this buzrug, he was out of the town, there in the wilderness, worshipping Allah. So as he returned, he came to the town in those, that zamana, the town used to have gates, you know, gates. So as he's returning, he came and he sees that it was midday, 12 o'clock, but the king had given the, or whatever city it was, the city, the king had given the royal command that the gates of the city must be closed. Now they would generally close the gates at nightfall, at night time, because there are no thieves should get into the city, steal, the enemy also, to protect the people from the enemy attack. So they would, so he said, but this is 12 o'clock midday, why the king has given the command and the order that the gates of the city must be closed? So then the gatekeeper says, he said, no, haven't you heard? He said, no, I haven't heard. What is it? He says, the royal falcon has escaped, you know, the king's royal, the royal falcon, or royal eagle, the bird of the king has escaped, the royal. So the king said, immediately close the gates of the city. He said, Buzrugi, thinking, hey, the king is so stupid. That bird is going to fly up. Closing the gates is not going to stop that bird. So he turned to Allah and said, oh Allah, this king is so stupid, he haven't got even garki akal, common sense you haven't got. Common sense, you know, he just, but you put him on the throne there, you put him on the throne. You know. And me, I'm worshipping you night and day, I'm so obedient to you, and I don't have any wealth, I'm in poverty. So immediately Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this buzuk was inspired, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, if you so wish, we will change the situation and condition. We will put you in his place and put him in your place. The ni'mats we granted, you will give it to him. That's why you have our love. You have deen, you have the knowledge of deen. You have that special nisbat with Allah and Rasulullah. You're a hafiz, you're a alim, you're a buzrug, you got all this. And him, we gave him the world, but we haven't got all this. We haven't got these favors. So we can change, we can swap the roles if you want, you know. He said, oh Allah, I ask your forgiveness, oh Allah, I ask your forgiveness. Please forgive me, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have asked that, you know. I shouldn't have asked that. So respected friends, that what does this shukr demand? Nabi Sallam mentioned, لا تزول قدما ابن آدم يوم القيامة, on the day of Qiyamah. Each person won't be able to move from his place. حتى يسأل عن خمسين, until he is questioned regarding five things. Till he doesn't answer the questioning. Give account, full account. He won't be able to move. An umurihi fima afna, regarding his life, how he spent it. Allah sent us in this world for a purpose, you know. How you spent your life? In the obedience or disobedience of Allah. An umurihi fima afna. Wa an shababihi fima abla. And in specific, your youth. How did you spend your youth? وَعَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبَهُ. The wealth you acquiring, is it halal wealth, halal sources? وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَ. Where are you spending it? The source of earning, the source of spending. Are you fulfilling the commands of Allah, the command of Allah? Are you fulfilling the rights of Allah, rights of the creation? You're fulfilling it or you're not fulfilling it? وَمَاذَا عَمِلَ فِيمَا عَلِمَا. All the knowledge we gave you, how much you practice on it, you know. So when a person, when he thinks, oh Allah, I thank you. But thanks in verbal speech is not sufficient. In action, Allah Pak says, اِعْمَلُوا آلَ دَاوُدَ شُكْرًا. O family of Dawood, fulfill our shukr in action also. In other words, that your entire life should be in the obedience of Allah. You're going to a function, there's videoing there. There's intermingling there. There's the commands of Allah being flouted and broken there. Are you going to listen to Allah or are you going to listen to the family pressure, you know? You're going to run your business according to the business trends of the land, the kuffar styles, or my Allah and His Rasul will govern my business. Shukr is all these things. How are you treating your wife? How are you treating your family? How are you treating the neighbors? How are you treating every ummati? Shukr, oh Allah, you show Allah, oh Allah, I'm grateful, I'll listen to you, I won't listen to anybody else. Allah give me an tawfiq wa akhidu an alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.